Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers first up. Paul, he's listening in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, you know, I have a friend who is a great theologian, but he turned me on to a book, and it is so strange to me. I wanted to get your opinion on this book. It's called The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. I've read the book all the way through. He considers it a prophetic book, and we're not so sure about prophecies, and I'm not sure it's a deal-breaker or not, but it is so deep in parts that I just wanted to know if you had read that book at all or parts of it.
Yeah, you know, Rick Joyner is a false prophet. He is a counterfeit revivalist, and I think that anyone...
He is, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I wrote about him in my book, Counterfeit Revival. In The Final Quest, what he does is he purports to give a panoramic vision given to him over a period of 1 year, which includes an unfolding of the last battle between light and darkness. And when you think about this, what he's telling people is that back in 1996, God gave him a vision to begin preparing for this great war with the resolve to fight until there was complete victory. Now, what is that war? Well, Joyner asserts that like the American Civil War, the coming spiritual civil war will be between what he calls the blues and the grays. And in dreams and visions, blue, he says, often represents heavenly-mindedness, the sky is blue, and gray speaks of those who live by the power of their own minds, the gray matter,
or
the
like
brain.
Civil War.
Yeah. And he says this is going to be a conflict between those who may be genuine Christians, but who live mostly according to their natural minds and human wisdom, and those who follow the Holy Spirit. And he's convinced that the grays, whom he characterizes as spiritually ruthless and cruel, must be confronted and exposed and either converted or removed from their place of influence in the church. And after the grays, who he says constitute nearly half of all believers in the world today, are defeated, there's going to be an entirely new definition of Christianity. And then he says believers and unbelievers alike will think that this is the end of Christianity, and it will be. Though this, the very definition of Christianity that we once had, was the wrong definition to begin with, and therefore it's going to be changed forever. This guy, I mean, words escape me. Quite frankly, I wrote a whole book to undress this notion of counterfeit revivalism, but he is one of the chief perpetrators of this counterfeit revival.
Hank, listen, this is like good fiction, really, to me. And I read it, and I was thinking, my goodness, this is, like, so weird. It kind of reminds me of the teachings of the masters of the Far East. Have you ever read those, like those three novels?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Unfortunately, there is a lot of overlap.
Like, yeah, there is. In regards to my friend, who is very close to me, he said this book gave him so much insight. And I started reading it, and I thought, you know, this is not insight. This is heresy.
Yeah, it's a great example of eisegesis rather than exegesis, people taking their own paradigms and imposing them on the Word of God and the world in which they live, as opposed to taking out of the Scripture what the Holy Spirit has placed there. Yeah, very dangerous. And again, I wrote a whole book about this called Counterfeit Revival, which can be found on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to George in Fresno, California. Hi, George.
Hi there. I have a question concerning Adam. That God orchestrated Adam's fall?
I do not agree with that point of view. Calvin and many who follow in his train have made that exact statement. Calvin says that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man, Adam, but in him the ruin of his posterity, and God at his own pleasure arranged all of it. I have a hard time making that comport well with what the scripture says, particularly the Lord God himself speaking and saying, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their wicked ways and live. Calvin also said that God arranges all things by his sovereign counsel in such a way that individuals are born who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. So the basic idea that he taught is that all men are created in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel, and that God regenerates or rewires a certain number of those people in such a way that they can respond to the gospel, and they are the elect. But this is a debate within Christianity, and as I have said on previous Bible Answer Man broadcasts, there's a series of articles that you can find in the Christian Research Journal which deal with this very point. And if you hang on, or just look at the web, you can find those articles on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dree. He's listening in Fresno, California. Hi, Dree.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, my question pertained to, I didn't know if you were familiar with the Black Hebrew Israelite movement or the teachings of Brad Scott and Wild Branch Ministries. Reason being, it's kind of been a big thing in our area here with the Black Hebrew Israelite movement and the notion that the black people weren't. They're only the blacks and, those from the Southern Americas being authentic. We wondered what your take on that was.
Yeah, I think it's a racist kind of an idea. Black Hebrew Israelites is sort of an umbrella term that comprises a large number and variety of groups. So they're not all monolithic, but typically they believe that the literal Israelites are who they are themselves, that they are literal descendants of the promise, and that as a result of that, they need to follow some form of Judaism or Old Covenant law. There's no historical basis for the claim that these groups constitute the literal descendants of ancient Israel, of course, and not always, but they often reject Jesus Christ as Messiah, and they have a sense of identification between modern black slavery and ancient Hebrew slavery in Egypt, and that becomes a bond that they not only form, but it becomes a basis for their identification for being Israelites in the black Israelite Hebrew sense. What they're communicating is something that is decidedly unbiblical. It is also racist in the sense that there's no geographical boundaries for true Israel. God does not play favorites. He doesn't choose people on the basis of their genealogy or racial characteristics. Rather, he chooses us on the basis of relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel. In other words, those who are in relationship to Yahweh, like Abraham, who was a friend of God, or like Peter, who was an apostle, they are true Israel. But that's not only true of Peter, it's not only true of Abraham, but it's true of Canaanites, like Rahab and her household. She was a Canaanite, and yet she was true Israel, and she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's true of Ruth, who was a Moabite, the archenemy of Israel, and yet she's true Israel. So the whole idea that they are the literal descendants of the promise is wrong-headed thinking. Peter got a vision of clean and unclean food, and in that vision, he finally said, "Ah, I now understand that God does not show favoritism, but chooses men and women who love and serve him." And so the bottom line is it's always a function of relationship. It's never a function of race.
Okay, I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Trusted Answers on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. When I say trusted answers, we live in an age of information overload. It's very, very difficult to vet information anymore today. Internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. I would call the website of the Christian Research Institute a safe zone. The information that we communicate on the web at equip.org is carefully researched. That's why we're a research institute, so that you can trust the information. And again, the resources that we have there are designed to equip you, edify, exhort you to make a difference while there's yet time. Be back in just a few moments with more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
www.hopeforchristianity.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Naomi listening in Douglas, Wyoming. Hi, Naomi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I have a 26-year-old nephew that is a devout atheist. And just recently, he was on Facebook bragging about how it was his goal to debunk Christianity. And he says that Christianity is a 3,000-year cult, saying that it is nothing more than fairy tales and that science has proven it wrong over and over again. And my question to you is, how can I approach him with this? I've gone to him and explained things, but he says you cannot frighten me into believing. I'm in traffic right now. I'm on the way to see him, as a matter of fact. Mm.
The truth of the matter is that the Bible is not myth and fable. The reality is that the Bible demonstrates itself to be a reliable authority. The problem is that many people in our contemporary culture don't know how to read literature, much less how to read inspired literature. And as a result of that, they come with the idea that the Bible is full of myths and fables. But the reality is that in an age of scientific enlightenment, it is no longer tenable to believe in atheism. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, you can believe in it, but you have to use a tremendous amount of faith. And in this sense, I'm talking about blind faith, not faith in evidence. Because
right.
It is implausible to suppose that when you see a universe with 170 billion galaxies, each with at least 100 billion stars, it is implausible to believe that nothing produced all of that, that nothing produced everything, that life came from non-life, that the life that came from non-life produced metaphysical realities like sex and spirit or morals and ethics. It is simply illogical to hold to that position. So people hold to it not because of enlightenment, but rather because they want to hold to it. And this is what Jesus said. He said, light came into darkness, but men preferred darkness over light because their deeds were evil. So it's not that someone can't believe, it is that they won't believe. I would contend this, that ultimately everyone, your nephew included, has the light of creation. And God's eternal powers, divine nature, are seen through what has been made, so that no one has an excuse. On top of that, your nephew has the knowledge of God written upon the tablet of his heart. So he has an inner knowledge and an outer knowledge, and if he responds to that knowledge, he can get more knowledge, which is to say, he can become more intimate with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what Blaise Pascal said so eloquently. He said that God dwells in enough light so that if we want to find him, we can. He dwells in enough obscurity so that if we don't want to find him, we won't. So here's my advice. I mean, you can't talk anyone into the kingdom. What you can be is a loving witness to the reality of Christ in your own life. So you can testify
right.
by your life and by your love and pray that God brings circumstances and people into his life so that he may have a change of heart. Ultimately, there's no accounting for the human will. I mean, you either will to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or you will to reject that wooing. And, you know, we have the responsibility to be equipped, to always be ready, but in the meantime, recognize that it is the province of the Holy Spirit to change hearts, not our province.
Right, right. And he's known that, but our sons are close in age, so they brought up around each other. So he's known that about my family. And so when I saw that, my other brother jumped in, and I went to him lovingly and told him I'm not judgmental, and this is how I want to approach you with this. And he said, I know, and I appreciate it, but I have a scientific approach to this, because he has a scientific mind, and he's always been told he's smart. But I did look online, and I found a great article that talks about the Library of Congress has some 70 million plus articles written by so many people, and I approached him with that, and I said, do you know more than these people do? He didn't have an answer for any of them.
Well, you know, the logical extension of atheism, in fact, Alex Rosenberg in a book titled The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and he is listed as the R. Taylor Cole Professor and Chair of the Philosophy Department at Duke University. He bites the bullet of what the logical implications of atheism are by saying that if you hold to atheism as he does, that there's no difference between right and wrong, good and bad, there's no reason to be moral. There's nothing that is forbidden. Everything is permissible. And history doesn't have any meaning or purpose whatsoever. It's full of sound and fury, but signifies nothing. But look, philosophical naturalism, which is the worldview that undergirds evolutionism, can only provide three explanations for the existence of the universe in which we reside. The first is that the universe is an illusion. And that notion, of course, carries little weight in an age of scientific enlightenment. The second idea is that the universe sprang from nothing. That proposition flies in the face of both the laws of cause and effect and the law of energy conservation. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. I mean, that's just common sense. And third is the idea that the universe eternally existed. The problem here is the law of entropy, which predicts that a universe that has eternally existed would have died an eternity ago, devastates the hypothesis. So there's only one logical possibility in age of scientific enlightenment, and it is found in the first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I would say in an age of empirical science, nothing could be more certain, clear, or correct. There's another thing I wanted to say, however. There's a book which you want to challenge him to read. It's called Christianity on Trial. And the author, Mark Lanier, he is U.S. News and World Report's best lawyers, naming him to its best lawyers in America list for 9 consecutive years. And in 2013, the top class action attorney in America. This is a formidable intellect. And he really not only deals with the evidence for God, but who God is. Because I think one of the things that happens is that people grow up with a view of God. It's a childish view of God, and it's wonderful when you're a child. But if you don't expand that view as you grow old, then you end up in a very myopic idea of who God is.
Okay, great.
Hey, thanks for your call.
I thank you for your evangelistic outreach. It's very much appreciated.
God bless you. And, you know, it's not uncommon, as I've mentioned on previous broadcasts, for skeptics to suppose that the Christian faith is irrational because we're believing in a God we cannot see. In reality, it is irrational for skeptics to suppose that what we cannot see simply does not exist. There are all kinds of things that we cannot see. We can't see a black hole. We can't see electrons. I mean, I suppose if you stretch them out to be about the size of a football field, you might be able to see them. I mean, think about this. Within just a dot of carbon at the end of a sentence, a period, you have 100 billion atoms. Electrons, of course, are smaller than atoms. So to see one of those atoms, you have to stretch it out to be the size of a football field. So you think about, on a micro level, how majestic the universe is. But you can't see electrons, you can't see the laws of logic, you can't see the law of gravity. And despite that, even a full-blown empiricist holds fast to the law of gravity. You don't jump off the Eiffel Tower because gravity would kill you every single time. Not only that, but as I just mentioned, I think that as you look at the world around you, the words of Paul become ever more pregnant with meaning. And that is, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I mean, if you were to hitch a ride on a beam of light, just think of what that would entail. It would be absolutely incredible. And the way I explain that is, in fact, just thinking about Christianity and trial, does that, if you were to hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it'd take you 100,000 years just to cross our Milky Way galaxy. And if you traveled at the same speed, it would take you 93 billion years to traverse the known universe. So the grandeur of these galaxies simply manifests the glory of the God who created them. And of course, the final point that we should always make is that God did not leave us with merely a transcendent or an unknowable God, but he revealed himself in time and space, taking on the limitations of humanity while not divesting himself of a single attribute of divinity. So Paul explains that in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, therefore, is the supreme act of God's self-revelation. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can experience the power and presence of God in a way that is more fundamentally real than even our perceptions of the physical world in which we live. I want to thank everyone as we close the broadcast for your prayers and for your financial support. Look forward to seeing you in the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.